Every Tuesday, we await the arrival of the Jazz Cat, Leroy Downs, with his show Live with the Jazz Cat. If you haven't been to his website yet, I encourage you to check it out. Many of you already have. In fact, you're into the thousands now. But if you haven't been there, one of the few, here's the web address. It's www.thejazzcat.net. Now, what you'll find there is certainly if you're a lover of jazz, you'll find all the information you need of special events going on, the Jazz Cat's itinerary. You will find an archive, and that archive will be full of interviews held exclusively on this show for locals only on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio. And at your convenience, you can just peruse and decide which interviews you want to hear. And those of you that have already heard some of these interviews, you can rehear them. Such will be the case today. You will definitely want to replay this one, one of the greats in jazz, again, that Leroy Downs has booked. But you will find on that archive list some of the greats, the legends, the pioneers, and also some of the up-and-comers. So he covers it all. And Leroy Downs, again, without further ado, let's bring on the Jazz Cat himself with his special guest today, Leroy Downs, Live with the Jazz Cat. Hey, Leroy.
How are you?
I'm doing good. It's all yours.
Oh, beautiful. Well, you know, I love this music so very much. And as you say, there are young guys I bring on, but when we get a chance to bring on legendary players like the one we have today, man, it is truly an honor. Mr. Curtis Fuller. Hey, Curtis.
Hey, Leroy. How are you?
Man, I'm beautiful. How you doing?
Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Oh, my goodness. How
you and Gary both. That's so nice, and I like this look up. It's nice, and I look forward to seeing you again out in L.A. and I think in January or February or something.
Well,
but
if
it's always good
there,
to see you.
If you're there, I will definitely be there.
Great. Mm-hmm.
You know, Curtis, I love the trombone, man. Thank you. It's the sound of such distinction in that sexy lower register, almost mute-like tone.
It's the male human voice, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Much different than a trumpet or tenor could ever do.
Yeah, even singing, I couldn't do a falsetto. Falsetto didn't get to me, so just playing extremely high never fazed me unless the guys do it to get out, you know, and see what I can do. But there's so much music in the horn, the tenor trombone, and all of the trombones that I try to stay, as Dizzy said, right there in the center of that horn, you got it, man.
I like
to stay right there. I mean, he didn't say what I have, but I mean, that's what I have. You know, that's me. It's me. It's my voice.
Well, as Dizzy said, you got it. I guess that definitely counts, right?
Well, to me it does.
Well, you know, it's like, even though those other instruments have, you know, traditionally been pegged as recognizable horns for jazz, I mean, your sound in particular for decades has been like the subliminal standard, man, kind of like the third musketeer, you know?
Yeah, well, then you're dealing with the Johnson, J.J. Johnson, and Jimmy Clevens, and all the Benny Green, all the guys that preceded me, you know, like just to be among, in the clouds, floating around. Just watching them was like a heavenly trip for me, you know, and I'm glad I got a chance to touch base with all of that. Miles Train, you name it, and Quincy, the whole bit. I enjoyed all playing in the bands with all those guys, enjoying a good time, a good, warm, musical relationship with each, and I feel really blessed by the Creator, really, really, truly blessed.
Isn't it so wonderful to just be in the midst of all that creativity with all of those great musicians that you play with, man? And it just carries on throughout what you're doing today, and especially what you've already documented on albums upon albums that you've already recorded.
Yeah, that's I've recorded with, as Jay-Z used to tease me, say, boy, you play with everybody. Getting the chance to play with Bud Powell, the great Jimmy Smith, of course, John Coltrane, Art Farmer, one of my heroes of all time, you know, just everybody, Clark Terry, you name it, Dizzy's big band, Count Basie's big band, Lionel Hampton, you name it, I just slipped through the cracks and there I was, I found my way through, back
well,
through.
Well, you know, you play with every true hero of the music, man, and we're always in the forefront of
And Art Blakey, God bless him, he put us all out there, he gave us Wayne Shorter and Freddie, myself, Cedar Walton, gave us all a chance. He encouraged us to write our own music and arrangements, and because I could stay with other groups sometimes and I had to play their music, but Art encouraged us to do our own, and therefore it gave us a chance to get our own little platform going, you know, with, yeah, within his group. And he definitely was the inspiration of all, so many musicians, from Clifford Brown, you name it, Lee Morgan, Freddie Hubbard, everybody. Everybody that came through that band is something to be extremely proud of. And I'll take that with me wherever I go.
You should. You mentioned Lee Morgan and Train, and there's players like Yusef Lateef and Joe Henderson.
And don't forget, I got three songs on the Lester Young Live at Birdland. I didn't even know that existed until a couple of months ago.
Oh, wow. A discovery.
Yes, a discovery. Somebody else got in there and looking for stuff, and they found a little diamond in the rough.
Well, that's lovely, man.
And well, I remember
we can't wait that to night. Hear that. What brought you all together with all of these guys? I mean, was it the neighborhood you lived in, the record labels, the jam sessions, or was it just New York City?
Yeah, well, that's a great band. You know, the movement was always there. And we always said, God bless the Red Caps, Sky Caps. They kept you informed. When you got on the train, they had the papers, Chicago Defender, you know, Pittsburgh Courier, you name it. We always knew who was out there among us in this business, you know?
Yeah.
It was our network, you know?
Yeah.
And they would be networking for us. You know, we knew about the new young ball players, the actors coming up, the singers, the writers, be it male or female. We you know, it's a network. You hear of a person, you know, that's doing something, that's got something going on, or beginning to get something going on, even if it's in the embryonic stage, you know, like you hear about it, and then you have a tendency to follow that train of thought and that person. That name is out there, and you seek out that information, and if it's there, you'll find it. I encourage all of my young students to listen to everybody. Go back to New Orleans and follow the Yellow Brick Road. There's so many guys that made it possible for me to be on this phone talking to you, you know?
Well, we're certainly glad you are. You're listening to the great Curtis Fuller, trombone extraordinaire, right here on the show live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know, you've worked in so many different formations, from quartets to large ensembles, but in what key and in what combinations of horns, along with, of course, your trombone, makes the sweetest harmonic sound in jazz?
Well, the complete orchestra, the big family, that's it. You know, it's family. It's almost like Thanksgiving Day when all the family has a reunion, you know? Because the family, it's like a piano. You hear every note, everybody that's doing anything in the song is in that song, in that arrangement. But my preference, personally, because I've always aspired to be a soloist sometimes. You know, like in Count Basie's band, I only played about five or six solos in almost 5 years. So,
oh, wow.
I wasn't there to be a soloist. They had Al Gray, the great Al Gray, I mean. And I play, you know, he fit that mode, you know, playing that backbeat, you know, and with the wah-wahs, and he's a very strong voice, male voice, you know, and he's all as high as you can get on that horn, as high as you need to get. But he, you know, and he had a way of tonguing right with the band, with Benny Powell. Guys like that knew how to play with that, just like the Ellington band, Russell Prokop and those guys, Rabbit, you know, you didn't have to be Charlie Parker, but he did his thing his way, you know?
Yeah.
And Al Gray did his thing. He was definitely not a JJ or anywhere near that, but, you know, he did his thing his way. And very graceful, very powerful sound, played a beautiful ballad. And I think that every musician everywhere brings something to the table, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking about cats bringing things to the table, I mean, Motor City was one of the strongest influences on bebop that you can imagine. I mean, you, along with Kenny Burrell, Tommy Flanagan, Paul Chambers, Donald Byrd, so many other of these cats.
That's my hometown. That's all my guys. That's right.
Yeah, well, tell us an interesting story from those early years, right when you all knew you were going to be rewarded forever through jazz. I mean,
Well, I didn't really know until after I came out of service, you know, and Kenny Burrell asked me to do a concert. It was one or two nights after I got out of the service, and I went over there with Joe Henderson, and then they stuck me on the show with Sonny, you know.
Yeah,
and from that Sonny Stitt, and from that part on, it was just once the people heard me from in a return kind of cycle, when I was on there with the horn at school, people said, "Would you please put that thing down?" You know, but at that time, you know, I guess I sort of had some sort of stability that then there people will accept you once they know you can hum the tune. And when you're the only horn playing, then you can carry your part, your bucket of water. You can carry that, your load, you know? And once people feel that you can carry your load and they can groove with you and listen to you and follow your statement, enjoy what you're saying, your movements on the stage. We all have a roll our own little actors on stage, you know, and we present ourselves that way. We're part of a whole, but we all have an identity thing going, you know?
Absolutely.
And once you present that and people fall in line, they say, hey, I'll go along with that now, you know?
You're listening to the great Curtis Fuller right here on the show Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the Four Locals Only Show with Gary Hamada. Well, 1957, man, was a great year, man. So many cats were in the studio cranking out some serious music. You know, after about 40 years of innovations, what are some of the things that spark your creativity that may not have sparked it back then, but in the 21st century is giving you some new revitalization with your thoughts?
Well, just hearing the new young players, there's a great player out there in L.A. that I met and I love, Isaac Smith. And so many, you know, there were so many guys out there, you know, it just, they were left out of that jazz program that they had, and they didn't even give, they didn't have the dignity to give J.J. Johnson his just due, you know. I mean, they just snubbed right over a whole lot of stuff, Mr. Benny Carter and so many people, you know, that I don't think were treated properly. That's my own personal thing, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. It's done. It's out there. But thanks to you, you have a chance to keep the ball rolling. It's like a wheel in the middle of the wheel. You're the wheel in the middle of the wheel.
We're going to keep it rolling. I'll be the ball bearings, man. You guys can be
the so we'll be the spokes.
Tired.
It takes all that to keep the wheel moving.
Well, you know, these days I see you playing with many of the younger cats. I mean, you know, you mentioned Isaac Smith, who's a great trombone player here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
What is your inspiration on each other? And do these young cats take you to uncharted territory, and what do they learn from you?
Well, the fact, you know, just like when I heard J.J. And other players in my generation, I aspired. I heard that they could do that with the trombone. Unbelievable. So I would try to get that and see if I could take one of those other zones, you know, go into another zone, you know, and knock it up a step, you know. And I mean, overtaking Mr. Johnson, that wasn't going to happen to me. But I just wanted to see if this instrument, if I could move it in that direction and get like a trumpet, and it had the same velocity and technique as a trumpet or a saxophone, you know? And John Coltrane told me I could. And just by him telling me that, I believe it. I may be fooled.
I would believe it too.
I had the audacity to believe it, so I tried anyway. You know, I gave it what the Creator gave me. I returned that to the listeners so they could judge me by my character and my text, whatever I was doing.
Well, we judge you by your character and by your sound, and believe me, man, you get A-plus all the way for sure.
Thank you so much, Leo.
Hey, man, you know, the 50s and 60s were such a special time for music in terms of innovation, camaraderie, dedication, and also availability of intelligent music in a pretty small, densely populated area like New York. I mean, so far in history, nothing's really rivaled that period. I mean, there's been a lot of standard regurgitation these days, and people seem to be, for the most part, acceptable of that lower medium. But, you know, what do you keep doing to keep the innovation strong, man, and giving people different music, intelligent music that they can hear?
Well, it depends, and it has nothing to do with demeaning or not giving the due respect right here in my own country and around my own neighborhoods, you know?
Yeah.
That the listeners, there's such an abundance of music the kids have thrown, but I think they're beginning to listen. And I'll tell you something that happened, if I might, with your permission. The last time I was in the club there in the bakery.
Yes, Jazz
the
Bakery.
Whole front row, one night, I think it was even the last night or the night before the last night, nobody on that front row was over 12 years old. And
whoa.
I came off the stage and I thanked each and every one of them. And I hugged them, took pictures with them. And I mean, that was my motivation, the spirit. I said, holy God, look at this. These young people, and they didn't get up and run to the bathroom every 5 minutes. They sat there attentively, and it blew me away, you know?
Wow.
And I tried to respond by doing, you know, whatever I could do with the trombone. It took me to another level. And I, for a guy my age, it made me reach down and get a gut, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the kids, they all wanted to take pictures with me, and that highlighted. Because, you know, that happens when you go to other countries, you know?
Sure.
I was telling somebody the other night, you know, in Japan, they used to, with Blakey and all, hundreds of youngsters with in kimonos yet, with flowers for the band, you know, all that's over with. You can walk through the naked now. It would make it. I mean, they flooded it, you know, like it's everybody with a voice is supposed to be a major singer, you know. That's kind of overdoing it, you know.
Yeah.
Or they have this thing, as I was told when I was coming by Miles and everybody, you know, get off JJ's back, get your own thing. But now they seem to applaud you if you sound like JJ. Before they were telling me to hurry up to get away from that. Clifford Brown, you get your own voice. I just did Turnpike with JJ, man. And he was playing this and so-and-so, and we did 23 takes on this thing here. And I told JJ, and he, you know, but this is the conversation, you know. So get your own thing. Get your own voice, you know. You play the same horn, but get your own voice. And listening to him, he didn't talk. You could hear elements of Dizzy Gillespie and stuff like that, but he had his voice, you know. And I took what he said to heart, you know, just like Train would tell me, you know. If Train could have hired anybody for that job, he befriended me because we had something in common, you know. But that could have been anyone, you know. The Creator brought us together, you know.
Well, the Creator brings a lot of us together, especially with this music. And, I mean, it's so such a blessing that you mentioned people like Train, like Miles, like Wayne Shorter, Herbie, Youssef, Joe,
Adelaide. Yes. Oh, I play with all of those people, every one of those people. Stanley Turrington, you name it, you know, I got a chance. Even some of the singers, you know, got a chance to see Miss Holiday and Fader, and then when Benny Ghost and I got together, you can ask them. And on Friday nights, so we'd be playing the five spot, she would be sitting there with a little white puppy. And the fact that Billie Holiday would come to see me, remember me, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just a little hot shot, because she told me, she said, you got to edit yourself now when you're playing. You're talking to people. You know, be entertaining. You play that, and you play that again. Now we heard you. We can go home.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, you know? I mean, those are words from Billie Holiday to Curtis Fuller, and that's just... This music is all about love, man, and you certainly distributed so much of it, man. So I just want to thank you for your contributions and coming on the air and speaking with us today, man. We love you, brother.
thank you, Leroy, so much. And Gary, thank you so much for allowing me this platform to speak my mind. Thank you.
Well, the platform's always yours when we're around, man. Curtis Fuller, right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Curtis, what's next for you, man?
I'm on my way to Austin, Texas, with Davis Ed Newman, and we'll be there until the beginning of next week, and that should be interesting. And then I'm going to try to chill for a minute, but I got a few little things to do here and there, little nits, a little job here and there. Oh, but every job is important to me, so if it's just one night over here or one night over there, whatever. And then I sort of settle after my birthday, you know, and just stay home for a minute and let the holidays soothe out. And I'm going back to the Ukraine, and then I have to play Benny Golson's birthday party at the Kennedy Center.
Nice.
He's having all the gang that everybody's played with him. You know, there's still some love there between us, and I'm glad that he invited me to play with him again, you know. So here we go again. We start chapter two, and then I work at the Kennedy Center, your Jazz Ahead program, you know. And I'll be doing that and doing some colleges with big bands, and I do that, clinics and things, and that's what I do. Still paddling the canoe.
That's what you do, man.
Trying to find some new territories like Magellan. Trying to find something.
Well, we'll continue to listen, man, and we'll continue to enjoy. And just want to thank you so much, man, for being Curtis Fuller, man. You hipped us to the music, brother.
Thank you so much.
You heard it from the man, the legendary trombone player himself, Curtis Fuller, right here on the show live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. On the Filosofs Only Show, Mr. Gary Hamada.
Thank you, gentlemen. I can't say enough about individuals like Curtis Fuller who have been so instrumental in the formation of jazz, actually, and its perpetuation of the art form that we call America's music, because it was born here, right here in the good old United States of America. And this being Veterans Day, it's so important to acknowledge our own art form, jazz. And we would certainly do that, and certainly Curtis Fuller exemplifies that art form.